What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. It provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. In their daily lives, Americans are subjected to increased scrutiny and governmental scrutiny, video surveillance cameras on many buildings and city streets, body scanners and shoe searches at the airports and millions of cell phone snapshots. Tracking systems are beamed into cyberspace. How much government surveillance is necessary to keep the nation safe? Are individual privacy rights at risk? Mobile communication devices offer more than the ability to just carry on a conversation. Cell phone snapshots and tracking systems are being beamed into cyberspace. What do you think about it? I pose that question to my panel today. They're all students from Florida High, and I welcome, always glad to have Florida High in the house, so to speak. And joining me is Lauren Nabel. Lauren has been a regular on 411 Teen. We're always glad to have her. She is a senior. Her interests are yearbook, SGA, volleyball, and softball.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Always glad to have you. Chasen Scruggs. She is in the 11th grade. She enjoys running and video production and art.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Brittany Dameron. Brittany is in the 11th grade. She's soccer, art, and SGA.
Thanks for having me.
And Olivia Etu. She is a junior, and she is into yearbook, soccer, photography, and SGA.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I just want to hear your opinions on this. So I said cell phone tracking. Cell phone tracking systems are made possible by GPS, a global positional system. It's in most all the cell phones, and it uses a receiver to pick up the signal in space and determine speed and location and direction, time. Back in, I think it was like 2005 or so, FCC required that all cell phone companies build a GPS device in their mobile phones. And over 100 million cell phone users have GPS in their phone. But my first question is, were you aware of this, that, you know, there is that GPS capability in your phone?
Yes.
Okay. And how were you? I mean, because some people you ask and they say, no, we didn't know anything about it. Is it just a given in your generation? I mean, how did you become to this awareness?
Yeah, it depends what generation you actually grew up in, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all involved in like all the smartphones and stuff, and they all automatically have GPS on them. And then whereas the last generation, they grew up with the little flip phones and they had no idea about it.
Right. So. And that raises a good point, because that makes a big difference, you know, as to, you know, who is aware and who isn't aware of something like this. Well, what's your, how do you feel about this? What's your response to this? Now, you also know that you can control it.
Yes.
Some say yes, no.
I
mean,
yeah, I didn't
that
know
you
that.
Can, you, there is a way that you can turn it off. That's what I mean when I say control it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, tell me, how do you feel about this? Because we're talking about the ability to be able to track you.
I think that there's pros and cons to it. I think some of the pros are if someone is doing something they shouldn't be doing as a criminal or something, and someone needs to find them, or if someone's lost, then it's good to find them. But I also think it's a con because it is an invasion of privacy somewhat, and maybe if you had something like a stalker, or if maybe someone was in a domestic relationship and they were trying to find them and were abusing the powers of technology with the GPS, then they could find them.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's also invading of the government to be in our privacy like that.
Okay. Where do the rest of you sit on that? Do you agree with her, disagree with her? Because what she's saying, Jason is saying, well, there's a little bit of both. There's a pro and a con to it, you know, that it can be beneficial, but it can also create some problems.
Yeah, especially if, like, someone can hack into your phone, and then that brings up the problem of them being able to maybe, like, kidnap you or something like that. That could be a con.
Do you all think of those kinds of things? I mean, how much are you aware of people and the ability of individuals hacking into your accounts or hacking into your Facebook?
That's a scary thought.
Is it?
Yeah, but you see it all the time, though.
Yeah, it's very common. I think we're all pretty much aware of it and that it's very real and it's reality and it could pretty much happen to any one of us.
Okay, so you have friends who have experienced this?
Yes, like through Instagram, you know, their accounts get hacked and then, you know, they have to delete them and stuff like that, and on like Twitter and stuff.
So what I hear you saying is that this is the norm. This is a normal occurrence. It's no big deal.
It's pretty normal, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And today, something that's popular is a lot of celebrities' phones are getting hacked, and images of them are getting leaked to the internet that they didn't purposely put out. So that's something that's popular today.
And that's, again, we're talking about. How do you feel about that? What's your opinion about
that? That's not okay.
It's awful.
It's not okay.
Awful for people's personal belongings to just be leaked so that everybody, so everybody can see it. Like, it's not okay.
It's their personal life. Leave it to that one person. Don't spread it.
Even if they're
a
celebrity, that doesn't mean that they're just throwing their whole life out there. Like, most of them are actors, and that doesn't give you the right to just dehumanize them and treat them like they don't deserve the respect everyone else deserves.
And that's a kind of, we're talking about like a surveillance that they have no control over. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear from you as far as how you felt about the tracking system in the phone. I mean, Lauren,
I believe it's an invasion of privacy. It does have its pros and cons, like Jason said, but I don't want someone always knowing where I'm at. Like, the government can just look me up anytime they want, and I don't appreciate that. That's not right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Olivia.
Oh, I think that that it does have its cons, but it can also be a good thing considering, like what Jason said, people getting lost or the criminals. I think that's very useful for the government in that aspect.
And what about, and you kind of touched on this, our ability, you know, to protect people. The phone, you know, can serve. I mean, they send out, you know, alerts. I mean, they send that out to everybody. I mean, and if they have you, then they certainly will contact you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying there's one way or the other. I just want us to explore it and to kind of look at, you know, how do you feel about that? I mean, what if you're out and you're stranded? You have no way of calling anybody, but that's still on when you can't make telephone calls, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and they track you. They use that to find where you are. Of course, then there's the other side. What about the parent that uses that as a tracking system for their teen? And I don't know if that's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just...
Yeah. It can go both ways.
It's not a black and white situation. It's not, there's like no... It's no right
or wrong. Well, I guess then if that's the case and that's recognized, where do we draw the line?
That's what I'm concerned about because I feel like if people start taking advantage of this, then their lives are just going to be fully exposed. Like, there will be no privacy if this gets in the wrong hands, if all this information gets in the wrong hands.
Okay. Other comments? Well, but what do we do? I mean, so we recognize that it has a problem. We recognize it's definitely an issue. So how do we handle that? What are the options? What do we do in addressing this?
Maybe cell phone companies can make it more difficult for people to hack into it, or you can have more power over what people can view on your phone. I don't.
Do you all engage in banking and all of that through your computer or your smartphone?
Yes.
My mom does through the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do from my iPhone.
Do you have any concerns about doing that?
I'm scared someone will, like, take your bank account number, your credit card number. So,
but then again, it's very useful and quick and
easy.
Yeah,
it's very quick.
You can also freeze the account if you see that someone else is, mm-hmm. you know, using your account for things you're not buying, of course.
So, if you see it, and you do, you have a certain leeway? Because you may not see it immediately. That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's where the problem comes in. You don't know.
Yeah. Whenever my mom puts her card onto websites, like mm-hmm. buying offline, mm-hmm. I looked at it and it automatically fills in her number except for her security code, the 3-digit number. So just think about how easy it could be for someone to put together a number. If someone like stole my laptop or something and they mm-hmm. went into it, it could be so easy to use her credit card.
Yeah, and I guess that's, again, we're kind of digressing, but that's what I'm saying. How do you all plan to address that? I mean, it's your generation, you know, that has used this and that are experiencing, you know, the large amount of problems. I mean, everybody's been hacked into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you will use it more. You utilize this a lot more than somebody like even me, who is still reluctant. You know, for all the reasons that you say. You know, somebody get your number and hack into your account. They can get all the information about you.
I think we should spread awareness about it is what we should do, because I think the generations coming up after us, they're going to be so used to technology and so comfortable with it, unlike us, where we're a little bit halfway, because we remember as children how technology wasn't as used.
Mm-hmm. Tablets and stuff.
Yeah, like whenever I see children now, they're always on a smartphone or something, and I didn't even have a phone until the end of middle school.
Yeah, exactly.
I was playing outside.
Yes.
I think we also need to make sure people are aware that you can control it, because I didn't know that. I didn't know that you could turn it off if you wanted
to. Can. Yeah, you can. There is a process, yes. You can turn it off.
We should make sure that's known and that you have the ability to do that if you'd like.
Okay. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are talking about all of these increased tracking systems and cell phone snapshots and on, and where do we go and when do we stop? I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have four dynamic young women, all students from Florida State University School. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me are four students from Florida State University Developmental School. I welcome Lauren Nabel, Chasen Scruggs, Bethany Zamarin, and Olivia Eto. Okay. Since 9/11... the attacks that we experience, we have just grown more and more comfortable to surveillance. You know, it's become a part of our world. The internet surveillance program, we've had that where, you know, they have the eavesdropping on emails and the online chats. The government even obtained court order to force companies like Google and Yahoo to turn over online communications from their databases. You know, there are all types of issues. This phone surveillance program began all the way back in 2006 under President George Bush. What kinds of surveillance measures have you been exposed to when you think about it, whether here in stores, in other cities, and how did you react to it?
I've never flown or anything, mm-hmm. but I've heard about the little body scans they do.
Exactly.
And I just think about how, like, the terrorists have really drawn our country into making, like, more security for the people to make sure there's, like, no more terrorist attacks or anything. But I'm just wondering, like, how far the people can go under so much control and surveillance until we actually just finally say stop. Mm-hmm. But the terrorists have actually changed how we view security, I believe.
So you think, yes, it's had a major impact.
Mm-hmm.
Would you all agree? Well, let's hear from and see how you fit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the first thing I think of is also airport security as well. And I think that to some extent it is important to have types of security in the airport considering the terrorist attacks. And I think that it can be a good thing when it comes to airports. But then again, when it comes to, like, phone security, they can breach that any time. And so there's got to be some balance.
Well, let me just throw this out there. Because even though we have these security measures, I'm sure you all are aware of different reports that will come out and so-and-so got through security with a knife and a gun and had this and had that. So my question would be, does all this security really work? Because I'm often hearing reports on various news, you know, that how the security has been breached.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just at the beginning, right after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and whenever the security first started, everyone was so strict about it. But I think as the years go on and we haven't had such a huge attack like that on our country, that they get more slackier with it and they just kind of go back to how it used to be, mm-hmm. and a little bit more calm with it and not so strict.
So you're saying that you think we have become comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
And with that comfortability, so to be, with that comfort, we are in turn becoming a little lax and with the controls that we had set up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about you, Brittany?
I definitely think we've gotten really comfortable with it because now we have cameras in our cars and policemen have cameras in their cars and, you know, you hook your phone up to your car.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't think about, what if someone steals my car? Now they have access to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And what if someone steals my phone? Now they have access to my car. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't think about that.
So and they have access to a whole lot of other things phone.
Yeah, of course. Like, and then your phone can also be connected to your garage and security systems in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've gotten too comfortable.
Yeah, I think we're only really strict with it right after a certain event happens. I feel like after the Sandy Hook incident,
mm-hmm.
a few years ago, schools started to get more stricter with their protection around the school. Like, our school built a gate around it whenever that happened. And, I just think after big incidents, everyone makes a huge deal out of it, and they say, we're going to change, we're going to make sure nothing like this ever happens again.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just go back to their old ways because we kind of forget about things, and mm-hmm. new things come along, mm-hmm. and we worry about other things instead.
Do you see that as a problem? Do you think that should be addressed? I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel, as students, young high school students, do you feel safe? Is this something that you're concerned about? Is this something that you think about or you talk about amongst each other?
Not really. Like,
okay.
If someone really wanted to come in the school, they would find their way. A gate is not going to stop them,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can go whenever they want to, so
yeah.
Gate doesn't stop anybody.
I think that these things don't happen as much, but I think, as in the present day now, social media is used so much, and I think stuff like this has happened all the time, like school shootings were happening years ago and everything, and all these bad things have happened and murders happen, but with social media, we see it so much more often, and I actually heard that crime rates aren't as high as they used to be, but we just see it so often that
mm-hmm.
we think it's so high, and we think this country has just gotten awful, and like everything is so much worse than it actually was bad back in the day, but nobody knew that much about it because all they had was the radio, newspapers. Mm. They didn't have the internet and their cell phones and TV and all this other stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point. What do you think, Brittany? Well, while you're thinking, then I'll throw something at you. But with all of this increased surveillance and all this increased video, and we see all of this blood and, you know, whatever may happen, okay, do you think we've become insensitive?
Oh, yeah.
In addition, you know, mm-hmm. we're taking the security lax, but are we insensitive to someone dying now?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brittany.
Little kids, now they have access to the internet too when they have their tablets and stuff like that. And they can look up anything they want on the internet. They just look on, you know, like popular pages and stuff like that, and they can see anything, basically, like violence and stuff. So mm-hmm. I think they're being exposed at such an early age that they think it's normal, and which makes them insensitive to mm-hmm. things happening around them.
And because it happens so commonly now, like, you just hear crazy things happening to people, and we're just like, hope that doesn't happen to us, and we don't feel remorse for those.
Do you think our respect of human life is diminished in any way? Because I tell you, and I know you've heard this is old, but the way folks solve problems now is they shoot each other or they mm-hmm. kill each other. And sure, folks had disagreements. There were altercations, you know, but it didn't in my time. Oh, yeah, we're talking about 02, but, you know, not really. But it wasn't at that level. We didn't solve things. We didn't solve issues with the level of violence that we find today. What do you think has caused that? What's going on?
I mean, like I said, yeah, the social media, well, also with children, they play very violent video games.
Okay, so you think.
Yeah, and my little brother is only 12 years old and my sister is 10, and they can watch gory movies and not even get scared at all. If I did that when I was a child, I would, like, gag and almost throw up. Yeah. They're just so used to the blood and everything, and they think it's kind of cool. And then I also think, just along with the technology, everyone just seems so absorbed with technology that I think everyone is getting farther away from human life. And I think just whenever there was no technology at all, we felt so much a deeper connection with each other mm-hmm. whenever it came to humanity. And I think that even with death now, we don't feel that as much. And we're a lot more concerned with just ourselves and not everyone else. And we're not a big family that just came together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Well, I was just going to say how if you go out and look now, everyone's just on their phones. When you're in a group setting mm-hmm. with friends and family, everyone's on their phones. Mm-hmm. And there's no time
the
for, like, talking.
The bent head syndrome.
The
bent head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just really sad to me, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. we're so different now. Like, teenagers now and mm-hmm. the adults now are just totally different. Like, they're, like, what's this? What's a smartphone? Like, what do you do on the smartphone? And then we're like, oh, this is what you do, yada, yada, yada. So we're just very, I guess you could say, antisocial big time now.
I know I did a program on smartphones. This was some time back. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about there was a couple in a restaurant, and they both, I guess they were out on a date, mm-hmm. But they both had their cell phones, and there was no communication. Now, maybe they were communicating back and forth with their phones. But both of them were doing their phones, and they look up, and then they, you know, because I watched them for a while.
Yeah.
And I just was, you know, amazed at that. You know, but that's the norm now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we started, well, it's what the, like, new generation is growing up on, because mm-hmm. when we were little, you know, we didn't say, hey, come over, let's play video games. Mm-hmm. Hey, come over, let's play outside.
Right. Oh, yes.
Let's play dolls, you know.
It's a different world. What was your response, as we talk about, we digressed a lot, but to these beheadings that were put on, you know?
Awful.
That was gross. That was really, it made me sick. I mean,
it made me tear up. That was sad.
Like, how could a human do that to another human? How could you have that much hatred inside you to want to
put it on someone? To put it on the
internet. Exactly, for everyone to see.
Everyone.
Like, what if a child saw that? That's what's so wrong. It's so easy.
I went on my Yahoo page to go check my email, and it was just on the front page there of him holding the head.
Exactly.
A picture of it, and then you could click on it to get a link to the video, and that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS, they want to scare you. That's, like, their plan. They want to scare people. That's one of their scare tactics. Like, hey, we're coming for you, basically, but you can't let that get to you, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and of course, you know, now we react to their, you know, the beheadings. But what we're doing is not any better. I mean, we're bombing people. It's the same. It's you know what I'm saying? We're killing innocent babies and whatever.
Just not in a gruesome way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Killing is killing.
It's an acceptable killing, right, Jason?
Rolling my eyes.
Yeah, I know. Nobody can see our faces. We're being a little sarcastic here. But what kind, back to what we were saying originally, about what types of surveillance have you seen? Have you been exposed to? When you talk about cameras, what we think about in store, I mean, just in your world, in your life, what kind of surveillance? We have them in stores.
Yeah, store surveillance. It makes you think twice about stealing that necklace. Or there's also surveillance, like at stoplights.
That's another one.
Oh, yeah, the stoplight cameras.
Tickets.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think that's...
I think it's fair.
That's good. Yeah. Unless you drive and it's on yellow and then it turns red. Or when you're about to get in the other lane.
The flash, like,
yeah.
I think that might have happened to me.
Isn't it like a certain number of seconds after, though?
It's time. You know, as we talk about all this surveillance stuff, we got to get back on track. Do you think, how big of a threat do you think terrorism is to Americans today?
I think it's a pretty big threat. Like, what's going on in the Middle East right now, the ISIS, the terrorist group, they're putting videos out on online where people can see the killings and everything. And it just gets in your head. Like, okay, they're online. They're posting stuff on Twitter talking about the U.S., saying how they're coming for us. But honestly, I don't really think about it because we live in like in a free country. We have a good army, and it just honestly that doesn't really scare me when they put it out on online. But
okay.
I don't know. That's an opinion.
I mean, I want to hear from everyone.
I think our country obviously has good enough like security.
Yeah.
I think if something were to be breached by them, by ISIS or whatever, I feel like they could catch on to that pretty quickly.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
That's interesting.
Because they've, like, with the voices of the people that are, the guy that was speaking about the beheadings, like, on the actual video, they can do, like, voice analysis and stuff like that. And so I feel like they could catch on to things really quickly. So that's a pro.
Okay.
To the whole topic or whatever.
What about you?
The group is very big for one, which is frightening, but they're also bringing in people even from our country. There was a girl that was going to go over there, and then she got stopped when she was going to the airport to go over
there. Yes, I'm familiar.
So that's just crazy that someone from our country would go. So I think, like Lauren said, they use fear to bring people in. Mm-hmm. And I think if they become big enough, a lot of people in fear, especially living in the Middle East, will just go with them so that they know that they're safe.
Gotcha. And Olivia?
I just think, like, frightening us is their tactic, and as they were all saying, it's not gonna work. Like, we all think that the United States is strong enough to withstand them, so, I mean, we'll try, I guess.
Okay, all right, well, I just want to get how you see these. Do you think that the security measures that we use through surveillance are adequate?
Adequate enough to catch them?
To do whatever is necessary. You know, when you say are adequate given the situation, you know what I'm... Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so because we don't know all the details about what's going on in the government because we're not in there.
Yeah.
How much do you think we should know?
All.
Do you really think other countries won't?
Because if we know everything, then it's free to the public, and then other countries will know.
True.
So
good
there's
point.
Yeah, there needs to be in between. Even though I wish we could know everything, but they can't trust everyone in our country because there's even terrorists inside
Absolutely.
Our country.
Yeah, because there's actually people who left the U.S. Sure. to go and join ISIS. They gave them our information, and it looks bad on us because they're going to come back and get us somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like
but that's why I ask how much information. Sometimes we get the complaint when we talk about this surveillance that, you know, they don't tell us enough, us, you know, the citizenry of, you know, that we don't know what's happening. But how much should they tell us? I mean, this is not a friendly situation. And they're monitoring, just like we're listening to these different bands. They are too, okay? Mm-hmm. So how much information do we deserve?
Well, I feel like our first instinct would be like, we want to know everything. Tell mm-hmm. us everything. But like Jason said, like, we can't know everything, because if it gets into the wrong hands because of us, then that's really bad. And who knows what could happen if it got into the wrong hands. So
I think we should know what they do involving us. I think we should know our privacy that's invaded. Mm-hmm. But necessarily what's going on with other countries, I don't think we need to know everything of that.
Okay. So are you all, and we talked about him briefly, are you aware of Edward Snowden? He was the former NSA contractor who risked arrest to leak details of phone and web surveillance programs to the media, you know. And I guess basically folks say, well, why would he do something like this, okay? The reason he did it, from what I understand, and you all correct me, is because he felt like we needed to know. We as the people, you know, of the United States needed to know that this type of surveillance was being conducted upon us. Yet we're saying we aren't doing any of this, that we aren't engaged in that kind of thing. And then it came out we're surveying this prime minister's phone or whatever, and I may not be right specifically, but, you know, over in the UK or whoever, okay? So at what point do we stop? Where do we go? How do you feel about him? I'm just posing these questions to you because we're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are looking at surveillances at all levels. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. Joining me here at the table, I welcome four students from Florida State University Developmental School, Olivia Eto, Brittany Zamoran, Chasen Scruggs, and Lauren Nabel. We've been looking at different types of surveillance. One that we kind of touched on but didn't really follow up on it is the police surveillance. This last few minutes that we have on the program, how do you feel about police wearing, you know, the surveillance cameras on their body, which will pick up, you know, everything that they do?
I believe it's right. Like what happened in Frenchtown when that woman was tased. I'm not sure if she was actually recorded by another person or actually the...
She was, yeah, that was an example of a recording by another person, but that's a good example. But that's a good example.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that's an example of where we really can support the use of, it was a camera, cell phone camera, but that was very effective because if we had not had that, nobody would have believed it.
Right, yeah.
Okay, you know that. They wouldn't. It would have been her word against the policeman, and you know who's going to win. This poor black woman in Frenchtown or this white policeman.
Yep.
Come on, let's call it like it is, okay? So that was really very, very beneficial, okay? But back to the initial question of should the police have wear them on their body?
They should. So, because you've heard of all these police brutality and everything, so it lets us know what's going on and what they're doing. We have a right to know, like, if something really did happen, like if they beat someone. Everyone should know about that because they should be put on trial. It's not right for a policeman just because they're the law, they can't hurt you like that. So it's right for, I guess, evidence.
Yeah. Don't you think when we're seeing all of these situations where policemen are really abusing their power.
They are.
What does that tell you, though? Because that's the norm. I mean, they had to have been doing this, or it wouldn't be happening. Do I make sense? It wouldn't be happening. That would not be an avenue that you would take. So that's the norm. That's like an accepted behavior. That, you know, we'll, what about the poor little lady out in Killarn? She was from Killarn, and she got beat up by the police, and she was on DUI. Yeah. That little lady was what? All of 90 pounds, 100 pounds. Yeah, exactly. What could she do?
Exactly.
There was no use for her.
That's not
there
was that much violence.
Yeah, that's so not the police officer. That's not his place to do or her place to do that.
But and what does that say about the police? Because it's often corrupt. We're talking about black brutality. How that was a white woman from Killarn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if they're going to do that to her, what are they going to do to me?
Mm-hmm. Doing anybody like
right
nothing will stop them. I mean, they're just abusing their power, and once police start abusing their power, they're going to start being more controlling over the people.
But if you take it even a step further, what I'm saying to you is that what we are seeing is the norm. This is what's happening. So this has been going on a normal kind of basis. They just haven't had any big brother looking over them. Here's another example. We're back to the cell phone and taking you know, these candid camera shots. But what about the benefit of that? And what does that say about the whole system or the organization itself, that the way they deal with people is that they beat them? Their attitude, their mentality is to beat them when it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that some situations it's not called for, but when it's not necessary, what could that 90-pound woman do to three big? Did you see the policeman?
Yes, yeah, they were what, huge.
What could she do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, honestly. It'd be hard to defend yourself over three guys and being that tiny.
It just seems nothing. Like they could have just taken one hand and held her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
And she wasn't even fighting back is the worst part. Nobody's being violent in these situations. And if someone was, obviously, I'd understand why you'd fight back.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when they're doing nothing to harm anyone, of course it was horrible that she was drunk driving. But
yeah, I agree.
But that's not their power. That's what jail is for. That's what the legal system is for. This isn't – it's not their power to do that. And – In our government, you don't beat people either in jail, but that happens as well. The
mm-hmm.
officers in there take advantage too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
and I think it happens a lot often there, and we don't even see it
right
because there's no cameras in there. Mm-hmm. Which situations like Ferguson, we had cameras, and we probably wouldn't really know about.
Oh,
that.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good one, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Ferguson, people would not, and you said it. I don't need to be redundant and say it again, but I guess I will. But no one would have known anything about Ferguson.
Exactly.
We wouldn't. The American public would not have believed it. They would have blamed those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's their fault. Okay, you know those people. You know how they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's another example where it's not the case.
And I think even the police cameras, even though they have those, they're the ones that control if it gets leaked or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare if it gets leaked. So if they're doing corruption, of course the police station isn't going to leak it and let everyone mistrust that county's police office.
Exactly.
So honestly, I don't even think the police cameras are valuable because...
Yeah, pointless, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they can operate it. They could cover it up or whatever they want to do with it because we have no control over it. So I think, honestly, the only people we can trust in situations like that is us, the people, the
who
citizens.
Who just take those candidates.
Exactly.
Yes. So you do see that's an example where it's very beneficial,
mm-hmm.
and we could really. What about? Well, we're jumping around, but you know, we get on something and it's good.
Yeah.
How do you think we should? And we started out with this. How should we handle the Edward Snowden situation? He's the one that's still in Russia. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's taken asylum in Russia. Do you think he's a traitor? Should he be tried for treason or whatever else they were going to try him for?
Absolutely not. I feel like what he was doing wasn't just to benefit for his own beneficiation, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was to benefit everyone. And he was telling us something that we didn't know. And so that's always, it's always good to know certain things. Mm-hmm. Just to be aware is good.
Mm-hmm. And other comments?
Well, just because something's illegal, I don't think that means it's not morally correct. I think what he did, he had the right intentions, and his morals were good in that. And he good wanted to do point. What us, the people, we seem so weak compared to the government now, even though we're supposed to be equal with them. But we didn't even know what they were doing to us. Mm-hmm. So how are we equal with them? Mm-hmm. I think what he did was really good.
It opened our eyes. It made Absolutely. Us aware. Because, again, it's another one of those situations where you may have someone anecdotally say something here, and we just kind of ignore them. But here, he came out, and he leaked a lot of information that was valid. Okay. I mean, because if it hadn't been so valid, the government wouldn't have been after.
Exactly.
Yeah. They wouldn't have cared. Exactly.
You know, they would have been like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, so that lets you know right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. As we look at the surveillance, how do you feel about the surveillance of political activists?
Like cameras, like in Congress, like mm-hmm. what they're talking about?
All right. That or someone who may, they may be following for whatever the reason may be, a Ralph Nader type. I'm just thinking of activists, maybe even Reverend Al. I mean, who knows? No, but they followed all the, when, during the 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. they were following, you know, Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, you know, mm-hmm. setting stuff up, maybe not to the degree that we have now, but they certainly were. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them following, tracking political activists?
The reason they do it is because they want to know what
that person
what,
is doing.
See what they're mm-hmm. doing. They don't mm-hmm. want to, like, you know, like a revolution to start. I know that's a big thing to say, but, you know, mm-hmm. they want it to be peaceful, but they want us to be ignorant so that they can keep peace. And that's not what people want. They want to be aware.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's why they spy on them and listen to their conversations, like in the instance he said, because they just want to know the truth. And obviously we won't get the truth.
But that was my... We're not getting it. So I guess what I keep going back to, so what do we do? Is there a happy median? Where do we go from here? I mean, because this is something that you all are going to be confronted with. You had to deal with, you know, technology and everything, but you're going to be confronted with this from now on. This is your life. It's relatively new for me.
Well, I think I came to the conclusion after all this that I really wish I had privacy and was respected with that, but I would be completely okay with all my privacy being let out if that meant that we had cell phones where we can get all this knowledge let out, like police corruption and things are going on. I think in the end it'd be worth it. My little privacy, which isn't even that important to the grand scale of our government, I think it's worth it to have cell phones and the tracking devices. I wouldn't really care if the government knows where I am because there's so much good that comes out of it.
Okay. I guess I put it this, the good that could come out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, because mm-hmm. we don't know, because I'm on the opposite side. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want them tracking my everything I do. Something about that doesn't
Well,
sit
I wouldn't
right.
want that either, but I feel like it's kind of a one or another situation, because without cell phones, we wouldn't have all this new knowledge, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't mm-hmm. have so much, you know.
But it seems like there's got to be a certain code, even with the cell phones, mm-hmm. that we follow. Because does Big Brother control all? You know, we talk about a democracy and privacy rights and freedoms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that what that is? I mean, if you're going to be monitored and tracked by your cell phone, and the government, you're not even talking about your mom doing it. You're talking about the government intervening and doing this.
I'm just not willing to give up my own personal life to the government. It's just none of their business to know, like, what I'm doing constantly or where I'm at. It's just invasion of my privacy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, since the beginning of this country, we've been based off of that. We want our own freedoms, and we want to have liberties, and we want to feel safe, but we also want to have our privacy. And I feel like it's slowly being our privacy is slowly being taken away.
Okay. But then again, giving up our privacy could be, in the grand scheme of things, like Jason was saying, a good thing, considering there's so much stuff we don't know, that maybe if our little information, our little privacy gives them that, then it'd be worth it.
Because I don't think that the government is really going to be, I don't think they'll care about us unless we're doing something wrong. And I mean, of course I want them knowing my every move and all that stuff, but I meant more on the privacy scale of where, like, people that I'm around know about my life, that I would just, because I feel like we're in a situation right now where it's one or the other, and I don't think we have enough power to stand up for them. Like, I think we should try, though. I think that's the resolution, that us as citizens need to stand up for and tell the government we want our privacy, and you can't be doing that.
Which leads me, I can't help but ask another question, because we're talking about the government and our faith in the government. How do you feel about Ebola? I mean, and you're talking about faith in the government and government systems, and I don't know if you are aware of the status of where things are now. By the time this airs, it'll probably be a different point. But, you know, now there's been a second person that's been identified, and I guess there's a third one. Have they been confirmed?
There's a third one?
I thought there was up to five now.
Oh, it's up to five. See, okay. But how do you all respond to this kind of thing?
I think with Ebola, I don't know. I hope for the best that they can secure the people and, you know, isolate them, make sure that it's not able to spread, because obviously we want to save lives. But I hope everything works out. That's all you can do, really.
Right. But I ask this and wondering, does it concern you at all? Is it something that, you know, you all have talked about? Is it something? I mean, for example, I had someone that I knew who was coming down for homecoming that's coming up soon. And then with this Ebola scare, she texted me and said that she wouldn't be coming because she was reluctant to get on an airplane. Now, that might sound really bizarre, but then you think about the second lady that was identified who flew. The CDC told her she could fly. So she flies, I don't know, Cleveland to Dallas or whatever. And she had taken care of, you know, the Ebola patient that died. She now has full-blown Ebola. You say you trust your government.
See,
I mean, I just throw that out there because that's what we're talking about. What does that bother you at all? Do you have concerns about that? Because what message does that send?
Okay. That they don't care enough. I mean, they need to be much more concerned. And I don't know. I get in a lot of people at school and stuff are just talking about it. And I got in a discussion with one girl. I was like, how could you? Didn't they accidentally let out a patient?
Go on.
Well, I think, how can you even let that happen? That's just crazy to me that they would even, I don't know how that's even possible. They should have been really concerned about the Ebola patient, and that makes me feel like they don't care enough. And that if now we're up to five people, I just feel like it's going to keep expanding.
Yeah, they need to care enough to secure it. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And keep them in a little bit after. Don't let them go out.
Exactly.
One day after it's cured, just keep them in there for a while.
But what does that do about the confidence that we have in these systems? That's what I'm talking about.
It brings it down.
I mean,
a lot.
Do you really trust?
They're telling people that they shouldn't. Well, there's like some conspiracy theories that I know, or some conspiracy theories are like crazy. But I was reading one, and it kind of made sense that we obviously have like a whole bunch of people in the United States, and that this is going to sound ridiculous, but that they want to get rid of some of the population.
This is a way to reduce the population.
Reduce the population.
Yeah.
And so they're saying that, you know, like, we shouldn't trust the government too much, that, you know, we should definitely take care of ourselves before we put our care in the hands of the government. So,
I've
which I agree with, so.
Yeah, I've heard different theories, too. Like, where the government is just purposely, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, it's just theory, but purposely. Like, everyone has, everyone's getting Ebola, so we can depend more on the government. And so,
we'll have to come back and talk about it. Hurry, okay. Say it real quick.
I don't know what I'm, never mind. I'm
You know, we're at the end. You get to the end and there's so many things you want to share. But I'd like to share my appreciation with all of you and say thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Enjoyed
for having,
your opinions.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'd like to extend a special thanks to Joshua Nabel for technical assistance on this program. To my listening audience, tune in next week. Same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen Podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.